Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 30th of September, recording at 8:39 p.m. British Summer Time. Okay, let's start with these stock markets. Now, here's my script, which I give 55 to 45 odds, I believe I've been saying. And that is, the current technical action for stock markets is a consolidation. It's a consolidation of those terrific gains that we saw from the mid-August lows. The process of consolidation involves generally small reactions, corrections, following those rallies. It gives markets opportunity to absorb profit-taking and to build additional support to fuel additional gains further on in the year, which could quite well carry into the first quarter of 2005, before I believe stock markets start to run into serious trouble once again. Now, in terms of the actual timing on the script, and this is not easy, but my guess is that really we'll have a few more weeks of this sort of ranging back and forth. And with some indices, though, watch some of the leading indices. And Owen has posted a number of charts here today. A lot of them you'll think, well, these are markets I've never heard of, or at least I've never thought about. So why should I be watching those? Well, it's the little markets that lead the way very often. Now, they're not going to uncouple in a big way from what happens on Wall Street, but because they're thinly capitalized markets, and then there are special factors such as commodity sales, that's a big one in terms of many of the emerging markets, or else they're just an interesting new concept, some of the Eastern European markets. And because they're so thin, as I said, that those markets can move more quickly. So here's a rough guess here, is that if I'm right about the consolidation, first, we shouldn't see any serious bungee jumps back down towards the August lows. The August lows are all important. All bets are off, needless to say, on the fourth quarter and the first quarter of next year in terms of market firmness, if we see the August lows taken out. The confirming information would be if stock markets kept relatively close to today's level, say within about 5% or a wee bit more, and just ranged sideways, get through the first half of October, so the next 2, possibly 3 weeks, but by the end of October, if my 55-45 upside script is correct, we will probably see that additional strength in some of the big cap markets before the end of October. Well, we'll have lots of time to discuss this and examine the charts between now and then. And my goodness, it certainly is interesting. Now, having had a sell-off, say, last week, then a little bit of firmer tone, this week is actually quite a bit firmer tone this week. Now we're seeing a bit more profit-taking in here today. We had not much of that in Asia. Actually, Asia had followed the Wall Street rally. And interestingly, that Tokyo Second Section Index, I might put up a chart of that tomorrow, but that had fallen for 9 straight days, but had a good day on the upside here. Qualifying as an upward dynamic relative, not a dramatic one, but relative to the small but persistent declines that we had seen over the previous 9 days. I mean, that second section is fascinating. Well, I'll talk about it if I post that tomorrow. But just to add a point, that observation that Owen made, he said once that changes direction, it tends to be so persistent. In other words, consecutive days rally, consecutive days sell off. Doesn't always do that, but very often it does string together quite a few consecutive days on the upside or on the downside. And once you're in that, such as the 9 days consecutively on the downside that we've seen, when you then get an update, you can almost buy the thing on that basis alone. Unfortunately, there isn't a futures contract for that index, or I'd be trading it all the time, as I've said, not for the first time. Okay, let's move on here to the government bonds. Now, this looked quite good. Well, it still looks quite good, but the U.S. Treasuries have recouped some of their losses. They're down at currently on the December contract 112.07, still trading. Of course, that's down 13.30 seconds, but it has been down as low as 111.17. So we've come up off that low. One of the reasons is because Wall Street weakened. I hadn't mentioned that, but it's not that not all that much weaker. The Dow's down 65. The S&P's down less than a point, and the Nasdaq's up actually up 288. I should mention a big factor behind Wall Street's decline is that Merck was absolutely clobbered. The share was down 28% at one stage, and that's because it had to pull its, I think, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but Vioxx painkiller for heart attack and stroke risk. And evidently, that was a $2 billion industry. So, share was absolutely hammered, and that caused a bit of a pall over sentiment generally. Now, earlier on, the bonds, as say the U.S. Treasury bonds, had softened because the Chicago Purchasing Manager report came in well above expected. For instance, last month it showed the number was 57.3, 57.3, and they were forecasting 58, so a small increase, and it came in at 61.3. Okay, that's just statistic du jour stuff, but following the Bill Gross comment that we'd had on the CPI and the hedonic reporting, and a little bit better, the revision upwards of the US GDP last year. Okay, certain amount of smoke and mirrors and all that, but the news was coming in better than expected, and bonds really been saying were ripe for a turn downwards, bond prices, that is, upwards in the yields. And that is what I believe is underway. Now, I thought when they were down almost a point in here again today, I thought, well, I'm close to being able to put in a an in-the-money stop just as a just to give me a free ride in that market. In other words, no risk. But I didn't do it because I thought, well, it's a little bit too close, a little bit too tight. But that's an option that I will be considering fairly soon, certainly if there's any downside follow, as I expect and hope. JGB is a little softer as well, and I opened a short position there yesterday as well. Now the bad news, from my standpoint at any rate, I covered that aluminium short position. I should have done it earlier. I'd been, you know, I shorted that thing on the 9th of September, and it, you know, I think it went down one day and then started to rally. Pushed up, became overbought, it rallied very strongly, which certainly, fortunately, was strong enough so it deterred me from adding to the position on a baby steps basis, which was my original plan. It looked as if it was on a bit of a stalk, so I held back just to watch it to see what would happen as it unwound an oversold condition. Well, did it within a very, very tight range, and I thought, my goodness, this is going to break up in here. So I've been telling you that I was going to cover that thing. And did, but the metals have been absolutely rampant in here today. But I'm getting ahead of myself. There is certainly one contributing factor, and I've written about it. That's euro dollar, and the euro's up a cent here today. That's up to 124.36. Now, you know, this has been in this really tight 120, 124 range, and it would get down and look like it might break down, and then we get an upward dynamic and move back to the top of the range. Well, here we are, pressing the higher side of this range, and as I said in the comment of the day, this really does require a downward dynamic to offset upside. In other words, I'd give the upside the benefit of the doubt until or unless we see a downward dynamic. Now, range trading is always tricky. But if this starts to, you know, if this maintains a pushover 123 for a few days, it could easily run back up to the higher side of the year's range, which will certainly upset the Euroland politicians, industrialists, and ECB, who may begin jawboning. Once again, you probably remember that that's what helped to rein in the euro strength in the first quarter of this year. So I've got charts on all that, which you probably will want to have a look at. I'm not participating in here. I've got enough things going on. Now, that, as I said, did have an influence on the metals, and they've been mighty firm here. Gold 418.45. It's been a while since we've seen that. Very, very steady technically. Palladium least gain in here today. Platinum 861. Silver, to my chagrin, a real powerhouse. Got up to that, I think the high note, six. Got up, I think it got up very, very close to that $7 level. Currently, 6.935. In here, that has accelerated a bit in here today, and there is some prior resistance near seven. So this may see a pause and reaction here. That wouldn't be at all surprising. But bottom line on these metals, this is a massive overall bull market. And really, these metals do get the occasional bungee jumps. We had one in silver this month, earlier in the month, and I think it was, and then it just pushed right back up again. And those really are buying opportunities, and sometimes it's frightening to do that. I was put off by the two sharp days downward dynamic, wound up hoping that silver would go lower. Some very wise subscribers, some of you sort of emailed in and said, well, you thought I was being a bit too cautious on silver, and how right you've been. Well done. So, but again, the bottom line point here is that this is a major bull market, and well, people have talked about China's slowdown and how that was going to clobber demand for these and bubble and so on. Well, you know, let's put it in perspective. These metals underwent a 20, 21-year bear market. Many of them fell to lows about 3 years ago, which 3, 4 years ago, which were the lowest that we had seen for decades in nominal terms. On some of them in real terms, certainly inflation-adjusted terms. In other words, massive bear market, and you know the story, the huge consumption synchronized global economic recovery, albeit a sputtering global economic recovery, but a lot of production had been mothballed or just closed down permanently, and thus the supply and elasticity problems. Now, supplies will increase for metals next year. That's absolutely for sure. So, you know, we aren't going to get a linear move upwards in these things. That never happens, certainly not in the metal markets. And so they'll bounce around a fair amount. But bottom line, when they see a big shakeout, clearing out to speculative hedge fund positions, so on, then that is almost invariably a buying opportunity. And that's the way I have played it pretty much for the last 3 years, but not very recently, and wish to continue to do so. And if we get the euro establishing itself above 124, and I'll give that side the benefit of the doubt at this stage, to say it's for the bears to prove, produce another downward dynamic there to indicate that it's going to go back to the bottom side of the range, then that would probably rein in some of these metal rallies. But until I see, till or unless I see that downward dynamic, I say I give the upside the benefit of the doubt. Okay, last but not least, what about the oil? Still firm here, 40, 49.56 on the US price spot. That's spot oil. And a little bit of natural gas, a little bit softer in here at 679 on the November contract. It was up around the $7 level, but then pulled back. But this has been incredibly firm. Of course, as you know, it's had this big romp yesterday and the day before, in a move that had started sort of mid-month. I would expect that to consolidate and probably move higher. What a contributing factor for a consolidation that is underway right now is that I think that short-term news is that there's plenty of natural gas around within the U.S. for immediate consumption, but I think that the bigger picture, so that's keeping it in a contango situation. In other words, where the spot price is at a discount to the futures prices. But demand will certainly be picking up, but more importantly, as we get into the winter months, but more importantly, that people will look at this whole sector and they'll say, my God, look at this. We've got oil sitting here near $50 a barrel, and here's natural gas, which in terms of industrial usage is many industrial usages is a good substitute for, let's say heating oil. And demand is rising very, very rapidly for natural gas. It's out of line. It's out of line with oil, and therefore likely to move higher. All right, folks, it's been a long day here for me. Lots on the website. I hope you find it both useful and enjoyable. All the best.